This episode is brought to you by Roster Up Media, your home for tangible insights on the NFL and fantasy football. Head to rosterupmedia.com for more. If you love football, you'll love Roster Up. What is up, guys? James here with another episode of the Jet Up podcast, part of the Roster Up Media podcast network. Why do I always say Roster Up Media podcast network? What even is Roster Up Media? Basically, Roster Up Media is the company that owns Jet Up, as well as other podcasts for the NFL, for different teams around the league, as well as a season-long fantasy football podcast, if you like that kind of thing. Or we have daily fantasy football and an around-the-league show that's more NFL news. So that's why I say that at the beginning of every episode. Roster Up Media is the podcast network that Jet Up operates under. So go check it out at rosterupmedia.com if you want more great football content. We're also looking for more writers, content creators for the Jets. If you're a Jet fan and you want to contribute more in terms of writing content or anything like that, feel free to send us over a message on rosterupmedia.com, or you can just DM us on Twitter at JetUpPod or at rosterupmedia. We'll get back to you and let you know if we can use you as a writer for the website. You want to just get your Jets thoughts out there, let us know. Looking for people that will give some fresh takes, man. Need it. We're open to it. So let us know. Also wanted to just mention before we start today's episode, I don't say this a lot, but I probably should. If you're not subscribed to our show, go ahead over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Subscribe to our show so you get notified of new episodes. And please, you know, if you can, give us a rating. Give us a 5-star rating would be great, but obviously we want your honest opinion. Leave us a review within those podcast platforms. Most of them now actually allow you to leave a rating and or a review. We would really appreciate that as we help look to grow this show with more and more Jets fans. Things are looking up, guys, down the road for the Jets. So we just want as many people here as possible to continue to participate and engage in this conversation around the team. So go ahead and support us in that way. Also, share the show with your friends. We really appreciate that. And we want just more Jets fans, man. More Jets fans in here. We want more of your reactions to our shows and Twitter takes and all the fun stuff. So appreciate that. But without further ado, let's jump into this show. Oh, one last thing. We are now on YouTube. Forgot to mention that. I mentioned that a couple episodes ago. This episode is also recorded with video. So if you'd like to watch the show instead of just listen to the show, you want to actually see my face, you go ahead and do that on YouTube. It's at the Roster Up Media YouTube channel. Links will be below. Okay, let's jump into the New York Jets. Week 4, here we are. It's time to get rolling. We'll talk about the Bengals briefly, some things we saw in that game that were negative and positive. Obviously, not the best outcome. But I just want to open up and just say the hot and cold nature of this fan base is kind of hilarious. So I tweeted this out a little bit. But basically, we win a game and the team, you know, all the fans are totally full of excitement, in love with guys like Joe Flacco, Robert Saleh. You know, forget about all the negative talk. For an entire week, it's just all positive vibes. And then we come out and we have a rough one against the Bengals. Everybody wants everybody to get fired. Everybody wants everybody to get benched. They blame the GM. Who should we, you know, who's on the hot seat? It's like a complete emotional swing, like every single week, depending on the outcome of these games. And look, I get the passion. I understand why this happens. But ultimately, these are single games. We just have to be a little bit careful about the reactions we have to these games. They're individual games. You know, obviously, if there's a pattern and the season goes on and on, like, you know, we saw on Sunday against the Bengals, then I think I understand a little bit more of that type of talk. But just take a deep breath. Sometimes I like to reserve my takes until like an hour after the game or the day after the game, just to kind of calm down a little bit when I'm upset, because obviously those emotional takes can be something you regret the next day. So obviously I think there were some negatives in this game on Sunday, but I don't want to just make sweeping, you know, generalizations about who should be fired and whatnot after the week before we were all praising these guys. So let's just be careful about how we do that. Obviously, you know, Jets fan base is very passionate. I understand that. Just saying. Let's think about this big picture, people. All right, let's talk about the Bengals. So obviously we played the Bengals this past Sunday. Not the best outcome. Really more negatives than positives in this one. So I get why people were upset. I tweeted out some of these negatives, but I'll go over some more of them now in more detail. Ultimately, I think a lot of it came down to, you know, certain position groups that maybe were not as heavily invested in the offseason, like the safeties. Joe Douglas, you know, he missed on a guy like Marcus Williams in the offseason, who everybody wanted. Ended up bringing in Jordan Whitehead, and he's not looked good. It's just not looked good. Everybody in the fan base kind of was like selling Jordan Whitehead in the early offseason, like, oh, this guy's just as good as Marcus Williams. I'd rather have him. It's like, no, that's just kind of convincing ourselves of that because he's on our team now. But he has looked pretty poor. LaMarcus Joyner has looked pretty lost out there. So LaMarcus Joyner had said in the offseason that if Robert Saleh was not the coach of the Jets, he would have retired. He would have retired because he was just kind of ready to retire. Not what you want to hear out of a starter on this team, that he was actually kind of considering retirement. And now he's here just because he likes to coach. I understand, like, that's why I love Robert Saleh, because guys just want to play for him. But that should tell you probably more about LaMarcus Joyner than anything, that he is probably his best days are behind him. So I think, you know, he looks like he's missing assignments out there. Him and Sauce and these guys are just miscommunications all over the place every game. And Joyner is constantly the name on the jersey you see when you see some Jet get beat every week. So, not in love with the way our safeties are looking these days. Obviously, will be something to address in the offseason. We spent so many years investing in safeties and things like that with Jamal Adams, Marcus May, and now we've kind of neglected the position, and people kind of said it didn't matter, but clearly it does. Because ultimately, there are some aspects of our secondary that are playing really well, and it's still not working out well because of the safeties. So safety was obviously a big issue for us. O-line, everybody was talking about this all week after the game. They were like an open door, basically. They just were like, come on in, sack our quarterback. You know, the Bengals had struggled for the first 2 weeks against O-lines. They really had not got to the quarterback of opposing teams. They had one sack going into that game and the game before that. And in this game, they looked like, you know, the freaking 85 Bears out there rushing our O-line. I mean, they were in there every single play. And we talked about this on last week's show, but Joe Flacco is not a very mobile quarterback at this point in his career. So he needs a little bit extra time, and he can look really good when he has that extra time, like he did in week two. But when he does not have that time, it's basically game over. I mean, he's not able to do what he does best with his arm talent if he can't get a little bit extra time. So what we worried about against the Browns, which didn't really materialize because we seemed to have some pass blocking schemes that helped us out in that game and pre-snap motion and things that caused the defense to second guess themselves, didn't seem like that was the case against the Bengals. I don't know what was going on. Mike LaFleur seems to wake up on the different side of the bed every single game. Where he looks great 1 week, and then another week he looks like he just forgot everything he did to help him win. I'm not really thrilled with the way he's been this year so far, but I hope that he gets into a little bit of a groove and we can start looking a little bit more competent and making adjustments, which we don't seem to be doing. So they looked rough, but Rich Cimini, who I normally disagree on a lot of takes, he's overly negative at times. He did tweet out something that I thought was pretty relevant. Which is that the Jets have three starters on injured reserve right now. Most teams do not do well when three of their starters are on injured reserve on the O-line. If those three guys were playing, we could be in a very different situation. We probably wouldn't even be talking about the O-line because you'd have Becton out there, Dwayne Brown potentially out there, or at least as a backup. George Fant probably wouldn't have got hurt. I think that's significant. You know, you can't just ignore that and be like, well, you know, we should have addressed it. Da, da, da. Like, those are three guys that should be on the field on Sunday that are not on the field going into this next game. So that's a real thing. I don't think we can just dismiss that and be like, Samini's negative. You know, I think I see that all the time. It's like, oh, well, you're agreeing with Rich Samini. How could you? I'm like, well, because he's right in this case. Obviously, I think the depth is where I'm concerned. So beyond those three guys, beyond the guys that we know Joe Douglas put together intentionally, we have guys like Connor McDermott who are going to be out there on Sunday. And Connor McDermott might as well just not even go out there. I mean, I don't know that he adds anything. He might actually help the defense. I'm really not sure. Guys basically just run right by him. So Connor McDermott, man, take your job seriously. I'm sure you do, but please take it more seriously. This is disgusting. His play is disgusting. That's the only way I could describe it. So maybe he'll clean it up this week, but I doubt it. Next thing I have on my list here is that without 17, without Garrett Wilson, he got hurt in that game for a bit. Man, this offense is a little bit alarming without him out there because you just saw how much they relied on him in game two and tried to start relying on him against the Bengals. And once he wasn't there, it was like, who the heck do we throw the ball to? I mean, it just seemed like LaFleur was lost in who to target. They tried to throw some deep balls to Elijah Moore. They're trying to use him in ways that I just don't think he's best. I mean, Elijah Moore's a great athlete. He's a great wide receiver. You know, obviously his play has been a little underwhelming so far. It's been overshadowed a little bit by Garrett Wilson so far this season, but I just think we're using him in ways we don't need to. You know, I would line up Wilson and Corey Davis on the outside and put Elijah Moore in the slot. Get your three best guys out there. Stop trying to force Elijah Moore to be a wide out, you know, somebody way, you know, out by the sidelines trying to go long and beat a guy deep. Elijah Moore is really shifty, but he's not like blazing fast. So I think asking him to go and like just beat a guy deep is not what he does best. He's great at those underneath, getting open in space, you know, in finding that green in the middle of the field. I think we need to take advantage of that and stop trying to make him a deep ball receiver. So obviously I think this week, you know, thank goodness Garrett Wilson's healthy and he's getting banged up, but he keeps coming back out and playing hard. So that's encouraging to see. I mean, that dude's the real deal. So, you know, if Elijah Moore can get in a little bit of a groove here, I think we'll be in good shape. Corey Davis, I don't know what's going on with that guy. He seems like he's kind of lost. You know, he makes like one catch a game. He had a stupid penalty last week. Feels like it's the end, like I said last week, for Corey Davis with the Jets. I think his best days are behind him. So maybe he'll just be somebody who can be kind of a good third option. But I don't see him as anything more than that at this point. Another thing people are really upset about this week that I understand is that the Jets, just the sacks, they're just not coming for that D-line. This is a very good defensive line on paper, and we're just not seeing it turn into tangible results on the box score. You know, we're not getting to the quarterback. We're not sacking him. You know, it's a legitimate concern. I'm really not sure what's going on there. It seems like the rotation's hurting it. We're getting guys in there at the, you know, who are not maybe the best, and then we're with some of our best, instead of just putting all our best guys out there and just letting them play free. Really just not sure what's going on. Obviously, Quinnen Williams is very talented. He's playing really well to start the season. Jermaine Johnson's actually playing really well to start the season as a rookie. His PFF grade was, like, really high this week. You know, but where's Carl Lawson, man? I mean, this guy is a great pass rusher, and he's not getting home. I mean, he made a big play in week two against the Browns, but he's got to be consistent. You know, he's got to get to the quarterback more. You know, we saw the Bengals just doing it over and over again last week. Carl Lawson can do that. I don't know what's going on with him. So they need to get it together. They need to get together and help these corners out who are playing really well, actually. But we can't ask the corners to cover for you know, 6-7 seconds. Like, we got to get in the backfield, you know, quickly. So I don't know what's going on there. They got to figure that out. They're good enough. They should be better. Needs to turn into sacks, not just pressures. And then, like I mentioned, LaFleur, man, I don't know what's going on with this guy. It's like a different guy every week. He's looking worse and worse with some of these game scripts. the plays he's drawn up, it just, I'm not sure what's going through his mind. He's got two really good running backs. They're feeding Michael Carter a lot, and I understand Michael Carter's a good player. But I just keep saying it every week, man. You got to feed Breece Hall. Breece Hall is averaging 5.3 yards per carry, which is 10th in the league. But he's only getting 7 carries a game over the first 3 games. That is unacceptable. Breece Hall should be carrying this backfield. He should be the reason that we're winning games. I mean, he's scoring touchdowns on like receiving, on passes, but he's a, bell cow. Give this guy the ball, man. He should be out there with the first group every single game. He should be 60-40 with Michael Carter, 70-30 with Michael Carter. I like Michael Carter, man. He's making plays, but Breece Hall, he's better. Get him on the field. LaFleur, stop overthinking this. Get Breece the ball. Thank you. And then last thing I want to say is just pray Zach Wilson is the answer, man. I said this last week. This guy's got to be good. He's got to be. And with that, that's the end of segment one, the negatives against the Bengals. And speaking of Zach, let's jump into the positives. So, Zach is actually back this week, so we're excited for that. I think it's going to bring a new dynamic to this offense and help these guys who are struggling a little bit on the O-line. So I'm excited for that. What actually went well, though, against the Bengals? So the corners. I mentioned this. Sauce, man. Sauce looked good. Sauce looked really good. He is legit. I mean, he is all over people. He was talking trash. He was all over Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is like really a top 5, top 6 receiver in the NFL. I mean, he was all over him through most of that game. I mean, the only time Chase really beat him was not when he beat him. It was when there was a miscommunication. So I can't really fault Sauce's play for that. That's just something he'll have to clean up from the mental side of things. That's all you got to clean up. We're in good shape, man. So he looks like the first round pick that he should, which is really, I'm thankful for that because that has not always been the case with our first round picks. Corners too are kind of, you never know what you're going to get in the NFL. But Sauce, man, he's living up to it. Living up to it. That deep play where he stayed with Ja'Marr Chase and just made that play on the ball at the last second. I mean, that was just textbook beautiful, beautiful job. So love to see that. And love that he's talking trash. I was like getting so hyped when I saw Ja'Marr Chase getting pissed because Sauce Gardner was talking trash in his face. That was awesome. Next, I want, DJ Reed. DJ Reed, man. DJ Reed looks good. He's blanketing people. He does not give up big plays. You got to watch this guy. The only time where someone gets the best of him is if the ball is like in the back corner of the end zone and it's in a place where only the receiver can get to it. But otherwise, he's still all over these people. So DJ Reed looks really good. I'm very excited about that. We got two very good corners. I don't remember the last time I could say that. Probably Revis Cromartie. They're not maybe that good, but they are really good. And maybe they will become that. Who knows? Next area, next position group that I really liked against the Bengals, the running backs. Both guys can find space. Both guys can make plays. They can catch the ball. They can run the ball between the tackles, outside the tackles. They're very good running backs, and they looked good against the Bengals. This is where I find the problem, though, is we just need to lean much heavier on them. We are just relying way too much on the pass game right now when you have very talented running backs. You know, the Jets were always known as like a run-first team, and there's a reason. I mean, the year we even went to the AFC Championship, the 2 years we did that, we were run-heavy. You know, Mark Sanchez didn't carry us to those games. It was our run game and our defense. And right now, our run game is just kind of being neglected. You know, I think we have to lean on them more. You know, Zach Wilson's a young quarterback. He doesn't need to be putting it on his shoulders every game to throw the ball 40, 50 times. We need guys like Breece Hall to be breaking big plays, to getting those short yards, 3, 4 yards, 5 yards, to help these drives keep going and not put it all in the pass game. Figure it out, LaFleur. Another positive, man, the kicking. It's no longer an issue. Greg the Leg is alive and well. I think week one, he had a couple misses and people were like, oh, here we go again. But since then, he's looked excellent. He's kicking like 57 yarders, not missing any extra points. It's really refreshing. I feel like I'm not worried. As he goes out there to kick an extra punt, I'm like, yep, this is going through the uprights. Goes out there to kick anything under 50 yards, I'm like, probably going to make it. Over 50 yards, I'm like, pretty good chance he makes it. So pretty excited to see our kicking game finally looking good. All right, and the last thing I would say is our interior pass rush. So we mentioned our pass rush as a negative in terms of not getting to the quarterback enough. But I will say, you know, Quinnen Williams and Sheldon Rankins seem to be putting the pressure on. So if they can get a little bit of help from their outside guys, that's where we need the help, really. Got to get a little more pressure from the outside. John Franklin Myers, Carl Lawson have to start really putting more pressure on the quarterback, making him step up into guys like Q. So need to see that in week four. With that, moving on to our next segment. All right, in our final segment, we're just going to talk about the game ahead. This is not going to be a super long episode, but just wanted to dive in a little bit here. So Zach Wilson making his debut against the Steelers. I like this debut for him because the Steelers right now are not the Steelers of old. They're still, you know, a good team, but they're not the same Steelers we faced in years past. They're without TJ Watt, which is really big. I mean, that guy's top two edge rusher in the league. It's probably him and Myles Garrett, maybe. So I think, you know, it's really, really awesome to see that we're not going to have to face him this week. And then we're facing Mitch Trubisky at QB. And everybody knows Mitch Trubisky is not a good quarterback in the NFL. He still keeps getting these opportunities because I guess there's just nobody better on the roster, which is shocking to me. But he'll be out there. He's been pretty pedestrian, just looking at his stats. He's only thrown two touchdowns in the first three games. So pretty ugly starts for him. He's throwing about 30 to 35 passes a game. His stats are about 175 yards a game. And like I said, averaging 0 to 1 touchdowns a game, not too formidable. We need to get to the quarterback. We need to be sacking Mitch Trubisky this week. Unacceptable if we are not. If he beats us, I will be completely shocked, but I'm not even going to project that. Anyway, need to beat Mitch Trubisky and the TJ Watt-less Steelers. So, you know, what else needs to happen for us to have a good game this Sunday? I think Ulbrich, the Jets defensive coordinator, needs to ditch this stupid rotation that he's doing. He's trying to basically give every defensive lineman the same amount of reps so that they're fresh. It's not working, man. It is not working. They are not playing to the best of their ability. Quinnen Williams should not have less snaps in a game than the opposing team's backup players. It's just not okay. So get your best guys in the game from a defensive standpoint. Yes, they will need a little bit of rest, but they can handle, you know, a 70-80% share of the snaps. Stop giving them 50%. It's ridiculous. LaFleur, as I mentioned, lean on the run game. Get that going. Zach's going to need a little bit of time to get gelling with this team again. It's okay to lean on those guys. Make it easy for Zach. Don't overcomplicate it. Make it easy for him. Game one, back off the injury. I'm excited to see Zach play, man. I know a lot of us have been waiting for this. Obviously, we want to evaluate him, but also we want to see what he can do. There were a lot of flashes of good things last year and also a lot of concerns. So we just need to see what he's got. Seems like he's confident, he's ready, and he's healthy. We need him to be. We need him to be out there. It's time for him to play the rest of the season injury-free and take this team to the next level. My prediction for this game is 17-9 Jets. Yes, I'm predicting another Jets win. Predicted a Jets win the past 3 weeks. I was right against the Browns. Wrong against the Bengals. And I think I'll be right against the Steelers. I think we can win this game. I don't think this is ridiculous prediction. Vegas has it like at Steelers 3.5, something like that. You know, in terms of the spread, that means that Vegas basically thinks we're even. So I see that's a positive thing. I think we could definitely win this game, and I think we will. So my final thoughts before we finish up this show, just be realistic. The Jets are never going to have stars at every single position. We're going to have holes. There's always going to be some holes. Never going to be a complete team where everything is perfect. The importance, though, is having stars where it matters the most. Quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, corner, pass rush. If Zach Wilson is that dude, the Jets already have stars at corner and wide receiver. The pass rush has the capability of being better, and they should be. The O-line, when your starters are healthy, should eventually come along. And I definitely see us investing in that in the offseason, like heavily. The arrow is pointing up. Not down, not even up. The Jets have a positive future ahead if they lean into these key positions and continue to build on them. There is a lot of talent on this roster when you look at the last few years in comparison. We're making progress. Got to put it together. Need the coaching to be a little bit better. Let's go win a football game. Go Jets. Jet up. All gas, no break. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Jet Up. Remember to go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at JetUpPod. This episode was brought to you by Roster Up Media, where football meets data. Head to rosterupmedia.com for more great NFL content.